We're on the top of towards the top of Daf Hey Mabez. About if Daniel was here, I'd say 14 lines down. He challenged me on it, and it'd probably be like 15 lines down. So I'm not sure how many lines, but it's by the top third of the Gemara. The Gemara just finished giving two answers as to where we get 10 tefachim from. It was either the Kaporas, which is a single tefach, plus the Aron 9 tefachim equals 10 tefachim. That was option number one. That was a whole separate Rishus. And that's the second option was Rav Huna, who says based on a panim or pnei gzereshava from the kruvim, which were 10 tefachim, which is a tefach. That's what we knew that the kaporis was a tefach because it was based on pnei kaporis and pnei kruvim. Either way, we knew the aron was 9 tefachim. The kruvim were a tefach based on the gzereshava, and that's the number of 10 tefachim. The problem is number 10 tefachim. We don't know what it means. It could mean on top of the schach is 10 tefachim or until the schach is 10 tefachim. Now, if it's until the schach is 10 tefachim, that's what we thought all along, that the airspace is from the ground to the schach is 10 tefachim. But the Gemara says, Umimai, the chala asara bar mischacha. How do we know that the airspace is 10, not including the schach? I mean, you have to get to 10 tefachim to hit the schach, which what we know the sukkah is, that's our din. However, says the Gemara, based on what we said up till now, how do we know that's what the Gemara meant? When the Gemara talks about 10 tefachim, that's usually on top of the schach. Ema bahadi schacha. Let's suggest if the schach was, let's say, one tefach thick, maybe it means that you get 9 tefachim to the schach, extra tefach with the schach, and on top of the schach, where Hashem goes down onto, is 10 tefachim. But not up until the schach. Again, we know halacha l'maisa is that you have to have 10 tefachim until the schach. But the arguments that we gave and the proofs that we gave, that the Shekhinah rests on top of the schach, well then it means including the schach is 10 tefachim. Not up until the schach is 10 tefachim. So we're kind of stuck again. We agree with this whole 10 tefachim issue. The Aron is 9 tefachim, and the Kaporis is 1 tefach, however you want to explain it. Like Rav Huna did, or like we had earlier on with the Mizgeret. It doesn't matter. You get to 10 tefachim. But the question is, does that mean the schach starts there? Or the schach can even finish up until there, which means it could even be only 9 tefachim until you hit the schach. The schach is 1 tefach thick, and then we have on top of the schach Hashem resting in Shekhinah, which is 10 tefachim off the ground. So how do we know it's up until the schach is 10 tefachim? That's the Gemara's question. Rally, we have to take a whole new track. We have to have a new twist in our discussion to explain how we know there was an airspace of 10 tefachim to hit the schach in the first place. We base olamim gamar. We learn out from the base of mikdash. Gamar means we learn. We learn out from the base of mikdash. What does it make sense? It says Gemara as follows. It says Gemara, Dichsivit says, by the base of mikdash, Rabbayis, the seat of Satan for you, the seat of Rabbayis Asher. Rabbayis Asher Bana Hamelech Shlomo Lashem Shishim Amarach Orcho. It was 60 amos in its length. The Esrim Rachu was 20 amos in its width. And here's the important part for us. But Shloshim Amah Komasa was 30 amos in its height. Uksiv, we know Komas HaKruva Echad Esr Ba'amah. The Chena Kruva Sheni. At the height of the Kruvin were each one 10 amos, which means that the Kruvin went up to a third of the height of the Beis Hamikdash itself. That however tall it was, the Kruvim went a third of the way up. And the Gemara assumes, V'tanu, we learn, Mem Matzinu Beis Olamim. What do we find? I mean, Mem Matzinu is like, we have a precedent. What do we find in the Beis Olamim, the Beis HaMikdash? How high were the Kruvim in relation to the actual Beis HaMikdash, the height of Beis HaMikdash? Kruvim B'shlish HaBayis Hein Omdin. The Kruvim were a third of the way up. However high the Beis HaMikdash was, the Kruvim went a third of the way up to the top of the building. So let's assume then, if we have like a model like drawn to scale, or not drawn to scale, but a model of a ratio of how high things could be compared to the top of that building. Mishkan Nami Kruvim B'shlish HaBayis Hein Omdim. Let's assume as well, in how high the Mishkan was, the Kruvim should be one third of the way up to the height of the top of the Mishkan. Now, how high was the Mishkan? Mishkan Kamahavi. How high was the Mishkan, in fact? Esr Amos. It was 10 Amos tall, as we know it says in the Pasuk. That each beam had the length or the height of 10 amos. And therefore, if each beam was 10 amos, let's make it a little easier as far as breaking down to a third, because 10 broken to a third is 3 and a third, right? 3 and a third is 10 divided by 3? 3 and a third. That's not an even number. We want to play around the even number. So let's make it into tefachim. Let's make it tefachim, because 10 amos is how many tefachim? 60. Says the Gemara, well, how high was the Kama Havilu? How high was the top of the Mizbeach, the Mishkan? Shishin Pushki. Pushki are Tvachim. Shishin is 60. 60 Tvachim tall is how high the Mishkan was. Tlase, what's a third of that? Tlase Kami Havi. How much is a third of 60?
Esrim Pushchi, 20 Tvachim tall. So now we happen to know in the Mishkan, where were the Kruvim sitting on top of? On top of the Aron and the Kaporis on top of the Aron. So Dal Asara, Dal means detract or subtract. Subtract 10 Tvachim of the Aron and Kaporis. That's how tall they were. And the Kruvim were on top of the Aron and Kaporis. So take away 10 Tvachim of the Aron / Kaporis. Pashalhu Asara. We have remaining 10 Tvachim. So again, I have 20 Tvachim. The Kruvim are going to be at 20 Tvachim up in the height of the base of the Mishkan. And they were sitting on top of 10 Tvachim worth of material. 9 being the Aron and 1 single Tvach being the Kaporis. Which means that altogether the Kruvim should be 10 Tvachim off of that base. Why do I care? Because look how the Torah describes the Kruvim. Uksivan, it says, Vayu ha-Kruvim porshe k'nafayim lamala, porsim k'nafayim lamala, thank you, sochachim b'chanfeihem, ala kaporis. That the Kruvim would extend, they would be poreas, they would extend their wings above, and it would call it sochachim b'chanfeihem. They acted as schach over the kaporis. Well, if they reached to the 20 tvachim height, and they were sitting on a base that it was 10 tvachim tall, that means that their wings were above the base 10 tvachim. And what do we call it? Sochachim. We call it tzchach. So over here we find that the word tzchach, the idea of protection of tzchach, is 10 tvachim of airspace until the wings itself. Now again, the Gemara wants to know, one second, maybe it means 10 tvachim including the thickness of the wings, says the Gemara right now. Says the Gemara, well, first of all, read the next part, I skip a little bit. Karya Rachmana Schacha Lamala Me'asara. Again, the Rachmana, the Torah, Karya, calls Schach when it's above 10 Tvachim of airspace until you hit that Schach. Mimai de Gadfinu Iluya Raishai Hu Kaimi. From how do we know? Where do we know that the Gadfinu, which are the wings, were on top of the head of the Kruvim, which is what hit the 20 Tvachim mark from the bottom of the ground? Dumulahade Raishai Hu Kaimi. Maybe the wings were with the head, but the thickness of the wings went to the top of the head. Meaning, how do you know that there was an airspace of 10 tvachim? It could be that the wings were like this, with the thickness of the wings reaching the top of the head of the Kruvim, and we still only have 10 tvachim of airspace between where the wings begin, the palms of the wings, or the bottom side of the wings, to the kaporis, which it was resting on. Whereas I'll tell you how we know that. I'm Rav Ach Bar Yaakov, l'mal maksiv, because it says it was above the head. It wasn't over here where the top of the wing reached the top of the head. It implies that the wings themselves were on top of the head. The bottom of the underside of the wings was on top of the head, says the Gemara. Wait one second. The Mala, Vema de Midle Tuva. Well, what's it above? Maybe it meant like this, way above. Maybe it was like Tvachim above. Maybe really 10 Tvachim was where the head of the Kruvim were, but maybe the wings were 2 Tvachim on top of that. Because it says over, above. The Gemara says that wasn't the case either. How do we know? Miksiv lamala lamala. Doesn't say they were well above. It says they were on top of. What does on top of mean? It means flush with the head is where the bottom side of the wing would be. And the bottom side of the wing was 20 tvachim then above the ground. 10 tvachim above the base it was standing on, which were the kaporis on top of the arun. And we called it sochachin. We called it schach. So we see now the airspace. Now, again, the question we have is this. When we talk about 10 tvachim, we've proven already, which was the arun and the kaporis on top of it. That was 10 tvachim. The question is, great, I know there's 10 tvachim, but something about the sukkah 10 tvachim. Does that mean on top of the schach has to be at least 10 tvachim? Or it means until the schach has to be 10 tvachim? So the Gemara we just quoted explains that we have something called sochachin b'chan vehem. We call schach an airspace of 10 tvachim. That's how the Gemara resolves this question. Up to now we had the number 10 tvachim. We weren't sure what it meant though. Again, did it mean that including the schach could be 10 tvachim? But the airspace is only, let's say, 9 tvachim. Or do we say it means that no, up until the schach is 10 tvachim. Now, the reason why we would have thought the other way, if you think about it, what was the whole point we talked about, what 10 tvachim, the significance of it? It was a separate reshus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests on top of 10 tvachim. Hashem rests on top of our schach. So in theory, it would make a lot of sense for the thickness of the schach to end at 10 tvachim, where Hashem rests on top of our sukkah. But that would mean that the airspace could be even lower than that. So the Gemara says over here, we've proven from the discussion of the Mishkan, and the third of the way up there, to equal the word sochachim, that really it wasn't that way at all. Mar S, Yud Tvachim Bahadei Schach, was it 10 Tvachim together with the Schach? So the board over here pointed out, we weren't sure. Well, the Binyan, whatever Binyan we're talking about, the Kruvim went to a third of the height of the binyan. Basically, mikdash we know is the source for that. This mikdash was 30 amos high. Kruvim stood on the floor 10 amos high, a third of the way up. The mishkan was 60 tefachim high. Kruvim therefore would be 20 tefachim off of the ground, height of the ground. But they were standing on top of a 10 tefachim base. The 9 tefachim of the aron and the tefach of the kaporas. 10 plus 10, and we call it sochachin lamala. We said they're acting as chach above, and therefore we find that 10 tefachim of airspace is in fact schach. That's good. We're good to that part in time. But the guard points out we have a problem. Yeah, Tzvi.
If the whole basis is the way it was in the Beis Hamikdash, that Kruvim were one third of the height. Why doesn't anyone suggest of the Mishkan was
10 amos?
10 amos or 60
tefachim.
So maybe the Kruvim itself should be 20.
And maybe why don't we assume that the Kruvim were a third of the size of the entire thing? It's supposed to, they reached a third of the way up. Do the math and it'll be 30. It'll be halfway up by the top of the Kruvim, but at least the Kruvim themselves will be a size of that tall. It's a good question. Meaning,
how do they know that it's, because we have to include pedestal.
Yeah, it's a good question. So he's asking, why are we assuming that the Kruvim reached wherever they were standing to a third of the way up? Maybe their size was a third of the size of the Beis HaMikdash.
Then they'd be standing on the ground.
Well, no, they would have been up halfway to the top of the Mishkan, but they still would have been in size relative a third to the top of the Mishkan. It's a good question. Why are we assuming that it's based on where their heads are, if you're based on how big the Kruvim were all together? Everyone hear the question?
No.
Question was this. We know in the end, the Gemara is assuming, we know there's a relationship between the Beis HaMikdash size and the Kruvim size. Now that was actually, both of them were the same, in that the Beis HaMikdash was 30 amos high, and the Kruvim were 10 amos tall, and they were sitting on the ground, so they equaled a third of the way up the top of the Beis HaMikdash.
The Beis HaMikdash or the
Mishkan? The Beis HaMikdash. We use that as our model. Our model was Beis HaMikdash 3-1, size to size, and that's how we get the size of our Kruvim. So we say, one second, I take a step back now. When it comes to the Mishkan, the Kruvim were not standing on the floor. They were standing on a platform of the Aron / Kaporas, which is 10 tefachim off the ground. Why are we assuming the Kruvim reached a height from wherever they were standing, a third of the way up the whatever building they were in? The Mishkan was 60 tefachim tall, 10 amos, 60 tefachim tall. And therefore the Kruvim in the end, we said, should reach 20 tefachim off the ground. Maybe it says Tzvi, it means that standing on the floor, whatever size the Mishkan or Beit HaMikdash should be, the Kruvim should be in their own size a third of that amount. Now they should be a third of the way up wherever they're standing to be a third. Because again, in the Beit HaMikdash, it was the same. It was one of the same. They were on the ground, they were a third of the way up. But here, when you have them standing on a platform, why are we assuming that they're a third of the way up? Maybe it means that their size should be a third of the size.
Yeah.
Well, in the Mishkan, you're correct. But in the Beit HaMikdash, they sat and stood on the floor. It was 10 amos off the ground. They're on the ground, 10 amos off the ground. And it was 30 amos tall together. And we said, well, if they get that high off the ground in the Beis HaMikdash, they get that high off the ground also in the Mishkan. But so he's asking, why didn't we say, if they're that tall, based on the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash, it should be that tall in the Mishkan as well. And that tall would have meant 20 tefachim tall. On top of the 10 tefachim thing would be
30.
So yeah, the question is, what's the scale? Is the scale how tall the building is how tall the Kruvim are, or how tall the building is how high the Kruvim stood, wherever they were standing upon? So the Gemara assumes right away, it's how high they stood, not how tall they were. So he's asking, why are we assuming that? I guess he left. He stormed out just now. He's angry at that. Well, if he's not here, I'm not going to answer his question then. I don't know the answer, but it's a good question. But we'll go on, because he walked out on us, and we're going to protest his leaving us. Okay. The Gemara says it's very nice and good, assuming that you believe that the size of an Amma was 6 tefachim. But that's up for debate, says the Gemara. Says Gemara, Hanicha, which means it makes sense according to Rabbi Meir. The Amar Kol Ha'amos Hayu Beinonius. Rabbi Meir holds that the size of an Amma was a Beinoni Amma. Beinoni means the middle size, and the middle size was 6 tefachim. Every Amma was 6 tefachim. Rashi points out, there's some people that say Amma could be 5 tefachim, and some say it's 6 tefachim plus a little bit more, like an extra half a finger. So whatever it is in the end, six tefachim is an average size of the options that are out there for us. Right? Meir holds it. When you see the word amma, an amma means it's six tefachim in size. So everything works out well. Because then the Aron was an amma v'chitzi. An amma v'chitzi is a six tefachim amma, and half of that, which is another three tefachim, nine tefachim, plus the kaporas is altogether ten tefachim. So it works out very well, according to Meir, that the Aron was nine tefachim tall. However, El Rebbe Yehuda, according to Rebbe Yehuda, the Amar Amma Shal Binyan Shisha Tzvachim. Rabbi Yehuda held an Amma of the Binyan, of the base of the building, not the Kelim, but the building was always six Tzvachim. But an Amma, when it described Kelim, Shal Kelim, was only Chamisha Tzvachim. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. That an Amma describing Kelim was only five Tzvachim, not six Tzvachim. Then do the math now. Michael, what are you going to say right now? Michael Amar. Meaning, the Amma again, of the is the Aron a binyan or is the Aron a kli? What was the Aron, a binyan or a kli?
A kli.
A kli. So therefore, when we call it an amma v'chetzi, what does it mean? According to Rabbi Yehuda, seven and a half. It's five ammas binyani. It's according to binyan. Yeah, not binyan. Sorry, an amma according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's a kli, not a binyan. So when it says the word amma by a kli, then the amma was five tzvachim only, says Rabbi Yehuda. So it's an amma v'chetzi. It's an amma five tzvachim and half an amma, which is 2.5 tzvachim more. So it's 7.5 tzvachim plus a single tefach for the kaporis is 8.5 tzvachim. On top of them, had to reach up to 20 tzvachim, the kruvim, and their hands are above when we called it tzvach. So how much airspace now is tzvach according to this? 11.5 tzvachim. That's Gemara and Sai. I'm saying that's Gemara and Sai over here. Aron the kaporis, kama havalu. How much then was the Aron and kaporis according to Yehuda? Tmanye upalga, 8.5. Pashlu chad, sorry, so we now have, you hit 20 tvachim, because it's a third of the way up, the size, the height of the Mishkan, which is 60 tvachim. So then we have now 11.5. Chad, sorry, upalga. We have now remaining 11.5 tvachim to hit to our 20 tvachim that we want to hit a third of the way up the building. And we say that it was sochachin, that the schach would must be that Ema, let's say, Sukkah ad havya chad sari apalga. The sukkah has to be up until at least 11.5 tzvachim. Because we called the sukkah where the wings were on top of the head of the kruvim, schach. And that means that it hit, we said, a third of the way up the building, which is 20 tzvachim altogether. But the platform we're standing on was 8.5 tzvachim. So if it's 11.5 tzvachim called schach, then right now we should require an airspace, not of 10 tzvachim, but 11.5 tzvachim. The Kashan Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that an amma of a kli wasn't six tefachim, it was five tefachim. So now we have a problem on our hands. Where do we know 10 tefachim of airspace, according to Rabbi Yehuda? Gemara is the famous answer. Rabbi Yehuda, you're right. I can't use any of these psukim, can't use any of these drashas. I have a simple way of knowing it. Rabbi Yehuda, hilchasa gmirula. We go back to old reliable halacha l'moshe misinai. It was a halacha that was taught to us. Moshe Mi-Sinai, and we support that with a famous phrase which we're going to discuss a little bit more in depth right now, which is Amar Bichia Bar Ashi Amarav Shiurin Chatzitzin U-Mechitzin Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. There are three, there's more than that, but we're putting together a group of three things. Measurements, Chatzitza, which are
separations
we'll call, okay, and Mechitzin, which we'll call walls. Are all the numbers we have, or the rules we have about them, are halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. Our discussion, as he pointed out, is mechitzin. The size of a mechitza of a sukkah means the size of the walls, which means the airspace of a sukkah, is not based on psukkim, not based on drushas, no gzeres shavas, no pnei, nothing like that. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu told us. Rabbi Yehuda needs to say that, because Rabbi Yehuda, without saying that, wouldn't be able to use the math that we've been using. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, anytime you have the word Amma, by a kli, it's only five tefachim. So all the Aron discussions that we had, and all the Sochachin Bechan Fehen discussions that we had, are all going to be dealing with different size Amos than we were using up till now. They're not six tefach Amos, they're five tefach Amos. In which case, we don't have any more 10 tefachim, we only have 8.5 tefachim, or 11.5 tefachim, depending on which drush we're using, we're missing the 10. So the Gemara says it's okay. Why is it okay? Because at the end of the day, we have something called Lachlan, which we see now, and that becomes our source for 10 tefachim is the size of a sukkah. What's that? Which one? Shiurin? What's 5.5? 5 or 6 tefachim, each one of them? So we'll see what shirim and not what you think they are. Shirim are not measurements of, we'll see right now. We might ask ourselves what each one of these things are. It's right, 5 or 6 is a number, but that's not what we mean by shirim. What do we mean by shirim, says the Gemara? Says the Gemara, shirim d'oraisin. Shirim aren't d'rabbanan. They're not all from the Sinai's. They're actually learned out from Pesukim in the Torah. Here's the rule. The rule is, Lach Moshe means there is no textual source for it. No textual source. Lach Moshe means that Moshe Rabbeinu passed down a rule that is not found in the actual text itself. Otherwise, it's called d'oraisa. We don't call Lach Moshe Sinai. Okay? So Gemara here says, Shiurin, or Lach Moshe according to Rabbi Chibra Asher Marav, what do you mean? We have Pesukim telling us Shiurim. What are those Pesukim? Says Gemara, Dichsiv, as we know, it says, Eretz Chita V'Seora, Eretz Chita V'Seora, Geffen V'Teina Rimon, Eretz Zei Shemen U'Devash. The pasuk with seven species that we say that the Eretz Yisrael is praised for, Chita is wheat, Seora is barley, Geffen is grape product, Teina, figs, Rimon, pomegranates, Zei Shemen, olives, Devash is tamar, is dates. These over here are the shiurin. Not every number is a shiur. These are the shiurim. What are these measurements of? So the Gemara goes through each one by one right now, and we'll do the same thing together, and then we'll stop. V'amar Rav Chanan, kol pasuk hazeh lishiur nemar. This whole pasuk that we have, with all these seven things, is actually telling us very important amounts and measurements of different halachas that we have in Shas, or in halacha. Let's go through one by one. Chita, what's the shiur of a chita about? What do we care, the measurement of a chita? Lebeis hamanuga. We had it earlier on, based on Manuga. What was it based on earlier on in the Gemara? We had it based on Manuga. We had it earlier on. About what?
4x4.
Excellent. Excellent. Why do we need 4x4 based on Manuga? Why do we need that? Because it's called a bias. Excellent. The puzzle calls it a bias. Very good. So we have over here, based on Manuga. The rule is, did not learn the Mishnah. Hanichnas le based on Manuga. A person walks into a home that has saras in the home. V'kelev ak tefa v'sandala v'tabasav biado. And his clothing is on his shoulder, meaning he's not wearing them. His shoes and his rings are on his hands, meaning he's not wearing them. He's carrying them in with him. Hu behein tmei miyad. Immediately upon entering the house at a saras, tumah kicks in right away. That's the rule. However, hayalavush kelav v'sandalav biraglav. Sorry, hayalavush kelav v'sandalav biraglav v'tabaosav etzbaosav. But if everything is in the right spot, he's wearing his clothing. His shoes are on his feet and his rings are on his fingers. Meaning they're always supposed to be. Hu tmei miyad. He's still telling me right away. Vehein, and those items are tahorim ad sheyishaheh b'chdei achilas pras chitin v'los pas seorim. They are tahor until he delays, until he stays in his house. The amount of time it takes to eat a pras, which is again, it's a chatzi kikar according to Rashi, it's a meal's worth, a half a loaf of bread, but not any type of bread. Dafka pas chitin and not pas seorim. Wheat bread and not barley bread. Apparently, wheat bread was eaten quicker. It's a smaller amount of time, not a long amount of time. Mesa v'ocha b'lifton, it was eaten, assuming that you were relaxing, reclining, and eating it with dips. You know, it was basically a chilled out eating. You were eating it in a chilled, relaxed fashion, and you were eating paschit and not pasorin. If you were in the house long to eat that amount of food, that shear would make your clothing also tame. The Rashi quotes over here, Pesukim, to explain, it says tame twice. One tame was about him when he walks in right away. One tell me is if he says if he eats and sleeps, meaning there's a certain shear of waiting, of relaxing that he would be in there for, and then his kalim would then become tell me also. If he had them on his body, I mean, holding them in his hands, then they're tell me right away because they're not really his clothing. They're really just things he's carrying with him. But if he's wearing them as clothing, it takes longer. What's that amount of longer? If he would sit in the home, the shear of Achilles Pras, of Chitin, not Tzorin, that would be enough to make him tell me. So we see right now that Chita is a shear. It's a measurement that we use, the bread of wheat, to explain what makes something tame. Seoro, how about what was barley? Where's barley tama? Now we're in the Mishnah. Etzim kisoro matami b'maga ubimasav enu matami b'oel. If you have a bone the size of barley, if you touch it or you pick it up, it's matami b'maga ubimasav. Touch it or picking it up. Again, if you pick it up, not, I don't touch it. Like this over here, I say this is barley, a bone. And I pick it like this. I don't touch it myself. I just pick it up. That would make me tame. But not Ba'oel. Ba'oel Rashi over here says you have to have like a skull or a spine or most of the body limbs, different significant bones, not Stam Etzem Kisora. But the Etzem Kisora, the sheer barley, is enough if you touch it, it makes you tame. If you lift it up, it makes you tame. That's the Seora. How about the next one, which is, again, Geffen? Versus Geffen. Kedei Revis Yayin L'Nazir. That if you would eat certain products that are grape-like products,
And we want to know if you ate enough to make you violate your Nazirus, and they have to bring in a korban and start the process over again. We measure it by the shear of wine, of Geffen. What does that mean? So the way it works is you have to have a certain amount of, you have to have a revius worth of Geffen products. If I would put, let's say right now, I have over here a cup, and the cup is filled to the top, and I drop whatever I just ate into the cup to displace the liquid in the cup, so I have to displace a revius worth of liquid to make sure, to know I ate too much to ruin my Nazirus. Liquid could be different liquids. If I had, let's say, oil, it would displace a lot slower. It's a thicker mixture. Wine is also thicker than water. Blood is thicker than water too, but wine is thicker than water. If you ever pour the cup to the top, you'll see sometimes it's over the cup. It doesn't spill it right away. Water won't go over because it's not so thick. It will spill right away. But wine will spill up. So therefore, in order for me to displace a revius amount of liquid of wine, it requires more items to be put in there. And that's the shear, Geffen. The wine displacement of a revius is a shear for a Nazir becoming, breaking his Naziris. That's Geffen. We have a Te'ena. He grew Geras Lotzah Shabbos. The rule is, if you take out, if you're over the Isra of being Motzi, Rishus Rishus, on Shabbos, it requires you to bring out a Te'ena worth of food. Grogaris is a fig amount. A fig amount worth of food. Rimon, how about a pomegranate? Now we learn a Mishnah called Kli Balibatim Shirun Kirimonim. Any vessel of a balabas, which means of a person, not a merchant, but a regular guy, the rule is that until it has a hole the size of the rimon of a pomegranate, a very big hole, it would still become in its state of tumah, meaning it's still considered a proper kli. Because let's say I had a hole in it that was too big for an olive, so I'll put apples in there instead. They won't fall out of there if there's only a small hole like an olive. I'll put apples in there, and then if I have a whole size of apples, I'll still put pomegranates in there. It's still functioning for me as a balabas. If I was an uman, if I sold these things, then any tiny hole would ruin my entire thing. But as a balabas, the shear of making it now no longer a proper kli, which would take the tumah away from it, would be a shear of a rimon. That's already too big for anyone to use. We're down to the final two, which is zayas. What's zayas? And the Gemara of here says zay shemen eretz shekol shirueh kizaysim. That's everything. A land where we measure all things by the zayas size. All food items and yisurim like that. It's a kizayas, kizayas, kizayas. The Gemara says kol shirueh kizaysim. What do you mean all shirim are kizayas size? Ha'ika honey, the amrina. We just listed five other shirim that are not a kizayas. So rather, El Ema, Rov, Shira, Kizasim. You're right, not all of them, but really, the lion's share of most things we talk about, how about the Shira is, especially for eating for items, it's almost always a Kazayas. That's what it means. It's almost, I don't have to give you lists, it's almost everything. Rashi points out a few lists also, but it's almost everything. And how about Dvash? It's Kosevas Agasab Yom Kippurim. Like a fat date on Yom Kippur. The reason why Yom Kippur is not an Isra of Achila, it's an Isra of, you have to be Inoy, you have to be suffering. If you eat a little Kazayas, you haven't done enough yet to make your body not suffer yet. In order to be over the Isra of Mamash Inu and Kippur, of losing the suffering nature, has to be a significant amount that kind of settles your mind, you no longer feel suffering. Bottom line is, the Gemara wrote all these seven things down to show us what? That it's not Lach HaMosh Sinai. It's Beferish Psukim. It's Psukim that we learn out from. Lach HaMosh Sinai again means it's not found in the Torah anywhere. And here we proved from a Torah, Shirin are Daraisa, but not Lach HaMosh Sinai.
Wait, isn't Lach HaMosh Sinai, isn't that also Daraisa?
Yes. But it's not from the Torah text.
It's from Torah Shabbat.
Correct, exactly. Okay. More over here, we had a discussion of Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Yehuda. I went back a little bit about the size of every of the binyan, of the Amma. Is it five tefachim or six tefachim? Rabbi Meir said six. Rabbi Yehuda says five tefachim. Five tefachim only gives us 8.5 altogether. Halacha Moshe Sinai, we said. There are three tefachim, three things of Halacha Moshe Sinai. There's Shiurin, there's Chatzitzin, there's Mechitzin. We say Shiurin, Halacha Moshe Sinai, Chita, Sorua, Geffen, Eina, Rimon, Zei Shemen, Udvash. Seven things Lach HaMosh Sinai are brought down. We say not the fact that they brought down the pasuk is not Lach HaMosh Sinai. Each one, chita for the bias of Manuga, the house of Tsaras, sora for the etzem, the bone to be tumbe from Mago of Masa, geffen, displacement of the liquid for Nazir, Te'ina is the rule of if you take out on Shabbos that amount of food of a fig, Rimon is the kli of a balabais, not kli un, but kli of a balabais. If it has a hole that big, it's no longer a real kli. Zayas, that's almost all Shirmar Kazayas, and Dvash is Yom Kippur. The Gemara right now says, what do you mean that's Halacha Moshe Sinai? That's the Beferish in the Pasuk. The Gemara says right now, it's written in silence, and we'll finish. Says the Gemara, Alma D'Oraisa Ninu. Therefore, we see these are clearly from the Torah itself. They're not Stam Mesorah Baal Peh, Torah Baal Peh. It's found in the text of the Torah itself. Says the Gemara, but Tizbura, is that logical?
You think it's found in the Torah itself. You quoted a pasuk. You quoted me words. And you tell me what the words mean. But shiurin miksivi. Where do you see these amounts written in the Torah? The words are in the Torah. The fruits and grains are in the Torah. But it says what each fruit and grain stands for? That's nowhere in the Torah. Rather, ela hilchasan inhu, their halacha was shine passed down from Sinai without any reference whatsoever in the Torah. The cross machta ba'aman inhu, and the Torah pasuk is merely an asmachta. Look right over here on the side. Kra is asmachta. They're all found there, but the kra is asmachta. Means it's a reference, it's an allusion to it, but there is no textual source for this. This is what it means. That was completely Torah Shebaal Peh, where Moshe Rabbeinu told us, and we use this pasuk as like a reminder. We were told of these shirim on this pasuk, but there's no mention of these things in the Torah. It doesn't mention these amounts or what they say from the Torah. Just the fruits themselves are mentioned. And Halakha Moshe Sinai tells you what each of these fruits actually meant, and that's where we'll stop over here to understand better. And now we have a shiurin, the measurements we have over here, like Rav Chanan pointed out, this Halakha Moshe Sinai of the shiurim, and we'll see tomorrow, Blineder, Chatzitzin, Umechitzin, Halakha Moshe Sinai as well. We'll stop over here and do some Chazara now if we can.